My name is Chris, and I would like to tell you my story. When I was younger, I thought my father had either died or abandoned me. As far as I knew, I was orphaned, alone and helpless in the world. Somehow, I ended up in slavery to a terrible master called Sarx. He seemed to be the boss of the whole village where I lived. Sarx would do terrible things to the people under his control. He held out promises of reward if they would do what he said, but he had no intention of keeping them. He made severe demands on people and then beat them up and accused them when they weren't able to meet his demands. We lived in a drab, grey little village where few people ever laughed or smiled, and where everyone worked hard and was punished severely. I thought that was just the way things were. I thought it was the reality of life. So I tried to get on with what I could do. I did my best, tried to cope, tried to minimize the harm. Then I became friends with a man called Joshua. Initially, I thought that Joshua was just another stable hand, just another citizen of the little town where we lived who was under the control of Sarx. But how wrong I was. Joshua began to tell me and to open my eyes and my ears and my heart to a world outside of our village. People rarely left our village, and it seemed that those who did never came back. But Joshua told me of another kingdom, ruled by someone who was both wise and kind, powerful and loving. Joshua seemed to know this other king very well. His details of life in that kingdom took my breath away. A world of light and colour, beautiful homes, joy and laughter. A world where the master was not harsh and cruel, but kind and loving. I began to long for that other kingdom. Joshua and I talked for long hours, and he told me wonders. During one of our late night conversations, I finally got up the courage and said to Joshua, "I would love to go to your kingdom. Can you take me there? Do you think you could get me away from Sarx?" I had begun to believe that Joshua was not just an ordinary man, but that he could do amazing things. When Joshua heard me say this, he smiled a warm smile. "I've been waiting for this day, Chris," he said. "Let me share a secret with you. Listen." I leaned in, breathless, expectant. What was he going to tell me? "I've come here on a mission to find people just like you. A rescue mission." He reached inside his cloak and pulled something out. It was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. A little silvery disc on a chain with an insignia shaped like a dove. "Take this, put it on, close to your heart," he said. I put the chain over my neck. "What is it?" I whispered. "It's your identity," he confided. "All your life you've been told that you're not worth anything, that your father abandoned you. None of it is true. Do you know who you are, Chris? Do you know who I am? Tell me." I breathed. "I am the son of the king," he replied. "And you are a child of the king too. I am your brother. Your father is not dead. He hasn't abandoned you. He sent me here to save you from the clutches of Sarx. That disc is on an unbreakable chain. No one can ever take it away from you. It assures you of the truth. You are a child of the king." Wow, it was almost too much to take in. My identity, abandoned, alone, a slave to Sarx, a nobody. It was all untrue. I placed the disc over my neck, close to my heart. Child of the king. That's what was engraved on that little disc along with the dove insignia. Unfortunately, we still had to deal with Sarks. He seemed to be getting more harsh and cruel and violent. One day, he started beating me. It was the worst beating I'd ever received. But something amazing happened. Joshua stepped in between me and Sarks. He took the rein of blows intended for me. He sheltered me with his own body. He took the punishment I thought I had coming to me. I could feel his body rocking with the pain as he covered me. I thought that no one could take that sort of punishment and survive. In fact, I was convinced Joshua was dead. Joshua saved my life that day. I had thought he would not survive, but on the third day after that terrible beating was finished, he came to me. "How can you be alive?" I asked. "I was sure you were dead." He grinned. "No worries. All restored." He was right, too. His wounds were miraculously healed. I could still see the scars, but they were healed and whole. He took me by the hand and began to lead me out of the village. "It's time to leave," he said. "We're going on a journey, going to my father and your father. It will be a long and hard journey, but I'll be with you every step of the way." So we left the village. I was no longer a slave to Sarks. We were walking into freedom. As we traveled, he told me more about the kingdom of my father and about what would happen when I would get there. What he said overwhelmed me with awe and wonder. "It's glorious," he said. "Colors and light and laughter and joy. Freedom. No punishment. It's like the whole kingdom is waiting for you to return. Even the trees and the mountains. Everything is in creation is waiting for the day when you meet your father again. The whole kingdom, the whole world is holding its breath, waiting for you to come home. And on the day when we walk down the street towards my father's village, my father's kingdom, everyone and everything will be there to cheer us on, to welcome us, to rejoice in your glorious freedom. The people, the trees, the animals, everything. It's such an amazingly rich kingdom. Not just rich with wealth and money, but rich with life and peace and joy. And do you know what?" "What?" I asked eagerly. I couldn't contain myself. "It's all yours. Everything in that kingdom belongs to my father, and his heirs will inherit the whole lot. I am your brother. You are a child of the king. Everything in that kingdom is yours to enjoy and use and benefit from." Wow, I was just awestruck. This was almost more than I could take. But as we traveled through the thick, dark forest, sometimes the old fears returned. What if Joshua left me? What if this kingdom was just a figment of his imagination? I would wake up at night sweating and shaking, thinking of Sarks and how he used to punish me, filled with fear again. Or the shadow of a bird or a branch would pass across my face and I would flinch, afraid that I was about to be beaten. But when those things happened, Joshua was there. "Don't be afraid," he would say. "You're a child of the king. You've been set free from Sarks and from all that punishment. Reach into your coat." And I would reach into my coat and feel that little disc on a chain engraved with my identity. "I am a child of the king," said the words engraved on that disc. It was beautiful. It was proof to me that Joshua's father was real and that the riches of his kingdom were real and that I really was a child of the king and the fear would vanish. Sometimes as we traveled, we came across other villagers. A lot of the villagers reviled Joshua. They called him all sorts of horrible names, and they mocked him, and sometimes they threw fruit and stones and vegetables at him. And because I was traveling with him, they mocked me too, and threw things at me. But since that day when he'd taken my punishment from Sark's, it seemed as if we have been drawn into a bond closer than brothers and sisters. What hurt him hurt me, and what hurt me hurt him. I'm sure of it. I was getting to know him better as well. The mockery and the pain brought a strange kind of joy in me. He had taken my punishment, and now I was sharing in his sufferings. And some people didn't revile Joshua. They listened to him. They joined us, a band of brothers and sisters traveling the road to freedom together. I'm still on that journey. I realize now that it will take a lifetime. Sometimes it's hard work and sometimes it's painful. But Joshua is with me. And I'm filled with hope and joy at the thought that one day I will crest the final hill, look down on the kingdom of my father and all its beauty and glory. And the whole kingdom will be cheering me on as my father runs to greet me. The trees will be waving their branches, and the rocks will be shouting, and all the other people in the kingdom will be cheering as I run into the arms of my father and cry, "Father, Daddy, Abba," because I'm a child of the King. When the old fears come back, when the old pains hurt, that little disc held close to my heart reminds me of who I really am, that I don't have to be afraid anymore. That Joshua is my brother and that the King is my father. This is the truth. This is my hope. This is my story. And it's your story, of course. An allegory of Romans chapter 8. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, which in Greek is sarx, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption. And by him we cry, "Abba, Father." The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. Amen. And peace of God and his joy and hope, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Saviour. Amen.